You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org. Here's Pastor Greg Mott.
Mother's Day, I don't always preach messages. I usually don't preach messages that are particular to the day because it's hard to preach the Hallmark calendar and preach the Bible, okay, at the same time. And there's so many different holidays that come up over and over that it's hard to do that. And one year somebody said, well, what are you preaching? It's Mother's Day coming up in a couple weeks. What are you preaching on? And I was actually preaching on Mother's Day coming up. I was preaching on hell is what I was preaching on. And I went through with it, and nobody got upset about it. And some moms actually said, you know, it was very good for me to hear. I'm actually in that place of my parenting right now. It's very difficult. The kids are disobedient. It gave me encouragement to know that there is a worse place, you know, that could be. So it doesn't always work out to do that. I don't strive for it to do that, but it works out today of where we are in the scriptures for us to do that. And so our message today is really could be entitled, A Good Shepherd and a Great Mama, okay, is what it could be. Because there's some similarities as we look at the good shepherd of who Jesus is, of also what a great mama would look like. That we could see what a good mom, a good dad, a good friend, obviously we could put in there, a good Christian. It could go a lot of different directions, but we'll take it just with Mom's Day today to be with Mother's Day. And so I want you to look in your Bibles in John chapter 10. And we talked last week, if you remember, we talked about the sheep and the shepherd. And that before we know God's path, we have to know God's voice. Knowing His voice, hearing His voice, precedes following His path. That was last week. And that today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. That's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. I wrote it in my baseball cap as I did in a college student. I wrote it in a cap of mine this weekend. So maybe you want to write that verse, Hebrews 3:15, in your baseball caps, guys and gals. And today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. I talked about that in my cap last week and all that. You have to get the tape. But to be able to see that we've got to hear His voice, then we'll follow in His path. That Jesus is the gate. That on one side of a gate, something is different than the other side of the gate. That Jesus allows us to come through Him, that eternity is different with Jesus. That forgiveness is different with Jesus. As we walk through the gate of Christ, things are different on the other side of Jesus than on this side. He is the gate. And now we're going to look and we're going to see that He is the good shepherd. Now, if He's the good shepherd, that means we're the sheep. If we're the sheep, that should not encourage you very much on your self-esteem, okay? Sheep are smelly. Sheep are not very smart. Sheep are followers, and we are rightly called sheep. Now, that's not real good for our self-esteem, but it's really true about us. And sheep, though, of all those characteristics, they're also pretty witty about getting in trouble. They could figure out a way to get in trouble. In Yorkshire, England, they were trying to come up with a way to keep the sheep in the pen. How could they keep these sheep in the pen? So they finally invented what we would call basically a cattle guard is what we would call it. But it was this grid that they would lay down at the front of the pen. And then they would put something onto the hoof of the sheep. And the sheep would be unable to walk across the grid. Basically a cattle guard, right? The sheep then figured out, how can we get out of this pen? So one sheep figured this out. They walked up to the edge of this grid, this cattle guard, this sheep guard, if you will, and said, you know what? If I lay down right here, I'm going to lay down. And the sheep laid down right by the pen, just perfectly by this entrance, and rolled on his back over, just rolled over the thing, and ended up on the other side of the gate. Pretty smart, right? So all the other sheep lined up, meh, meh, meh. And they'd lay down and they'd roll over and they lay down and they'd roll over and they lay down and roll over. So pretty soon this little shepherd sheep were all out eating the flowers in everybody's yard because they had figured out how to roll over. Sometimes it takes more effort and more smarts to do wrong than it does to do right. Have you ever seen criminals and you think if you just took all of that knowledge and all of that expertise, you just put it to good, you're coming up with all sorts of ways that are amazing to do wrong. But isn't that true with the human heart? That sometimes it's easier to follow God. It's easier to just be obedient. It doesn't cause near as much trouble, but we try to figure out a way that we can roll out of His will and roll out of His pen and get off to those good flowers in somebody else's yard. So then we come back to the Lord's Prayer and we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Forgive us our places that we've trespassed into other pens. But we're coming up with all these great ways to get out of the pen. But when you discover how great, how good the shepherd is, you will never want to leave the pen because he's so good. Now I want you to look in John chapter 10, and I want you to look in verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. Now I want you to underline the very beginning of John chapter 10, verse 11. It says this, I am the good shepherd. Underline that in your Bible. And right out next to it, number 4. We've been charting along with the I am statements of John. This is the 4th I am statement of John. The 3rd one was just last week where it says, I am the gate. John is 7 I am statements and 7 miracles of Christ. That if we understand who he is and what he does, it will change who we are and what we do. So we're on the 4th I am statement of I am the good shepherd. That's the 4th I am statement. You just put it out on the side there in your margin. Here's where we go in verse 11. Let's read. It says, I am the good shepherd, underlined already in your Bible. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away. Listen to it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. The first thing that we have, we've got 4 descriptions I'm going to give you of a good shepherd and a good mama. The first description is this. Here's the first description. He doesn't run and neither does she. He doesn't run and neither does she. The good shepherd does not run. The hired hand runs away. The wolf comes and the hired hand takes off running. But the good shepherd says, nope, I'm going to stay because this is my sheep. I'm going to be involved. I'm invested in this thing. You entrepreneurs with your own businesses, you understand this feeling. This is your sheep. You're invested. You're in. There you are. If you're a leader of something, you're invested. You're in. The hired hand runs away because he loves the wages, not the sheep. He loves the wages, not the sheep. It's not that he's against the sheep or he's not for the sheep or he doesn't want to help the sheep, but his love is the wages. And when the wolf comes, it becomes higher than what he feels like he's paid to do. So he's paid here. This danger is happening there. He takes off running, but the shepherd never runs away. Do you run away? Do you roll over the gate? Are you more in love with the blessing? Are you more in love with the ease of life? So that when it feels like, well, I don't know, this is more than my Christianity can give me. I'm in a challenging spot. I'm in a place where it might cost me socially. And you take off running and you take off running away from the wolf. Stand strong and stand true because the shepherd stands with you. The shepherd stands on your behalf. I love this. The good shepherd doesn't run. You will never scare God away. The good shepherd never bails. The good shepherd always stands true. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve rolled over the gate to figure out some way they could get to that tree. They had a bunch of trees. They wanted that one. Now they get that one and they bite of the fruit. And God doesn't run away. They ran away. God runs to them. The good shepherd doesn't run away. He comes to them. All throughout the Old Testament, armies would come against the people of God. God never ran away in fear. He never said, oh no, they've got too many men. He says, Gideon, take it down to 300 and let's go in there together. David, get your stones, get your slingshot. Let's go in there together. The good shepherd never runs, and a good mama doesn't either. She stands true. She stands strong. She fights for what is right. Moms, dads, can I give you a couple things to fight for? Fight for the purity of your children. Fight for it. I'm not just talking about sexual purity. I'm talking about all the stuff, everything that's coming at them. If you don't fight for it, it will not happen. All that's coming at them.
Sometimes I'm watching, we're flipping through the stage, I'm like, that's a kid's show? So what? Here's what we did. I'll just give you a little tip. I asked my son, I said, you ever heard of Gilligan's Island? You ever heard of Leave It to Beaver? You ever heard of Andy Griffith? So we get online, TVland.com, whatever it is. We watch Leave It to Beavers. You know how much that's helped the yes sirs, no sirs in our family? It's great. I'm getting treated like Ward Cleaver. It's awesome. I don't want to be treated like Homer Simpson. What's going in? What's happening? Now, we might have some trouble later on with, okay, I know Marianne and Ginger, both pretty. I got it. Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. But to be able to say, what's coming in? Fight for it. Fight for it. Fight for time with your family. Fight for time for your family. Do you ever spend time eating around the dinner table? Or do you just shuttle everywhere? Fight for your family's time. Your family's time is vastly more important than the development of the skill of your child, because it's the development of the character of your child, of being with their family. Fight for it. And I say this, and it's sad, but it's true. Mamas fight, and daddies often run. You go into the poorest neighborhoods in any country, and I've been in a lot of them in a lot of countries, and you will find a bunch of kids and a mama. You won't find the dad, because the dads run. And fathers, I tell you, be a man and don't run. You stand strong, and you are not a hired hand. You are not a parenting assistant. You're the dad. And you being involved in that life is tremendous. And if I could just step on our toes even further, men, if you've got young children at home, if you have a hobby that takes you away from the home, you need to take your kid with you. And if you don't take your kid with you, you need to give up that hobby. Because it is taking you away. You need to be with them. And if they can't participate in it, then you just wait till later. And you can hunt, fish, you can play golf till the cows come home, you can travel, you can do whatever. I'm picking on some easy targets. There's lots of them. I'm not trying to just pick on those targets. But I'm saying, dads, you stay. And moms, you stay. This Greek word is a Greek word that's poimen. Poimen. And what that means is this. It means to protect. It means to protect. The Latin word for pastor in Latin is simply shepherd, right? So a pastor, a shepherd, is a protector. I was with a family in our church, and the little boy said, what about, you were talking about the sheep and the shepherd. What about if a lion comes to get the sheep? And his dad rightly said, Pastor Greg, his job is to protect us from the lions. And I went, yeah, that's right. That's part of my job as a shepherd, is to protect the church from the lions. And we're to shepherd our families to protect them from the lions. And so, mama, don't run. Daddy, don't run. Because God doesn't run. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We'll hear it over and over. So, point one, the good shepherd doesn't run, and neither does a good mama. Number two, look in verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. Again, he says it. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, we hear that. We're going to get to it, but we're going to hear it numerous times before we get to it. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He, being God, the good shepherd, Jesus, he desires a two-way relationship, and so does she. Mama desires a two-way relationship. God desires a two-way relationship. I know my sheep one way. My sheep know me. Two-way. So it's not just God knows you, it's that you know God. Here's the deal. God knows everything about you. God knows every hair on your head. God knows where you live. God knows where you used to live. God knows every thought in your mind. God knows everything about you. The question is not, does God know you? The question is, do you know God? Because if you know God and you're getting to know God, knowing who He is and what He does will change who you are and what you do. And sometimes we take great solace, and we should, in the fact that God knows us, and we stop there. It's a two-way relationship. The life change happens when you know God, when you get to know God. Him knowing you is awesome, it's great, it's protective. You knowing Him is life-changing. It's life-changing. It's the same way with Mom. Mom wants a two-way street. She knows everything about you. She changed your diaper. She knows everything there is to know about you. She knows every scratch, every anything about you. But she wants you to know about her as well. She wants you to know about her life and who she is and understand the depths of her heart. And she wants to know more about you as well. So try to ask questions that aren't yes or no questions. How was your day? Was it good? Yes, no. Instead, say, what's the best thing that happened today? We do in our family, we say, what's your high, low? What's your high? What's the best thing that happened today? What's your low? What's the biggest struggle that happened today? What was your favorite thing to happen today? Did anything funny happen today? And we just start talking about that around the dinner table, right? So that you can be able to connect in those ways to get to know one another and hear that. A good shepherd says he knows God, he knows his sheep, and they know the shepherd. Now, I ask you this question, or let me tell you an illustration first. There's a difference between Western shepherds, that'd be kind of our neck of the woods, and Eastern shepherds, which would be the Middle East. Eastern shepherds lead their sheep. They have a shepherd with a staff, and they lead their sheep. We've all seen that kind of picture, you know, with a little crooked staff there, and they lead their sheep. Western shepherds drive their sheep. A sheepdog, a man on a horse, a stick, a whip, a let's go, come on, yeah, yeah, let's go. Eastern shepherds lead their sheep. Western shepherds drive their sheep. Here's my question for you. Do you feel driven by God or led by God? And I was preparing this week. That hit me in the heart. Do you feel driven by God or led by God? Driven by God looks like this. God's always pushing you. Remember when you were a little kid and somebody shoved you in the back and you kind of do that? You go, whoa, what's happening? You turn around, what's going on? Now, maybe I was the only one that got picked on and stuffed in a locker, but that's what happens, okay? Some of you are pushing me in the back. But you push him in the back and you kind of, whoa, and it's like this driven. Or your family, you know, it wasn't real good for you, and so you're driven, and there's a place for that. I feel it. I got it in me too. But driven by God or led by God, driven by God will result in bitterness and guilt. Because you'll feel like God is always pushing you forward. God is always wanting more from you. Always got to be holier. Always got to volunteer. Always got to do more. Always got to say more. Always got to be more ready to serve. Always got to be this. Always got to be that. Pushed. And we feel like God is shoving us along. That is vastly different than I've gotten to know my shepherd. He knows his sheep. I trust that he knows me. And now I hear his voice and he's calling me and I'm following the shepherd who knows his sheep and calls me. When he's calling me and I know him, I'm discovering my spiritual gift. And as I discover my spiritual gift, I find places to serve. As I find places to serve, I find places I want to give him my life. And so I don't feel pushed. I feel led. Called. Now watch this, and don't miss it. The description of both of these people might be exactly the same. This person may be vastly involved in Christian things. This person may give. This person may read their Bible. All of these things may be here. And the same things over here. The difference will be this, though. This person is driven by guilt and push. And if you live driven long enough, you will not be able to tell the difference between your guilt and his call. If you live driven long enough, you won't be able to tell the difference between your guilt and his call. And you'll do a whole lot of stuff because you just feel guilty about it. I'm a good kid. I try to do the right thing. But I want to do the right thing because I'm following God, not because, oh, that'll make everybody okay. We'll do the right thing. Because long term, it won't happen. God desires a two-way relationship. Wayne Cadero says this, the road to success and the road to burnout is the same road. Because we get driven down this road. We don't even know why we're doing what we're doing anymore. instead of being called to step and to walk, and with every step I get to know him, every step I trust that he knows me better, every step I get more honest with him, every step I get more desirous of following the shepherd, and every step I'm walking with him. Over here, every step is a driven, is a push, is a push, is a push, till finally I just want to figure out how to roll over the gate. I got to get out of this pen. Find true freedom somewhere else. Mama wants a two-way street in relationship. The Father in heaven wants it. Verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice and shall be one flock and one shepherd. He brings unity, and so does she. He brings unity, and so does she. The shepherd brings unity. Now, this is an interesting verse of Scripture. This is the verse of Scripture that Mormons use to say that God is going after the Native Americans, that Jesus appeared to those folks in the Americas. That's us. That's when the Book of Mormon was all written about that sort of stuff. Jesus appearing to the folks here. That did not happen. As clear as I can tell you, did not happen. They take this verse by looking at that and pushing it into that. I just think that's an interesting thing for us to know. What this verse is saying is this: I have sheep that are not of this fold. He's speaking to the Jewish people. I have sheep that are going to come to me and be saved that are Gentiles, meaning non-Jewish, or they're Samaritans, meaning Jewish or, half Jewish, half Gentile. So I have folks that are not Jewish. That's most of us in this room. Most of us, our background is not Judaism. We didn't grow up worshiping Jehovah, waiting on the Messiah. We grew up, our heritage is idol worshiping. That's what it is. And God has grafted us in. And so Jesus says, I'm going to bring you to me, and you're going to have unity of one shepherd, and you're going to have unity of one flock. Do you know that Jesus will lead you out of a lot of isms? Right here, he's trying to lead them out of Judaism into Christianity. He'll lead people out of paganism. He'll lead people out of communism. He'll lead people out of individualism. He'll lead us out of materialism, because he wants to lead us into Christ. Whatever it is, it's our lesser allegiance. He wants to lift up God to be our highest allegiance, so that we're led out of all of these exterior things into, not away from, great theology and truth. That's the unifying factor. The truth of the good shepherd. He desires unity across denominational lines, across all different lines. But he doesn't desire unity across lines of truth. It's not false and truth get together and unify. This morning at the 9:30 service, I wish you could have seen it. We did a baptism just as we do in this service, and they're amazing. We baptized a man. I want to just give you the descriptions, okay? I'm not saying these, I'm just going to describe for you. The man baptizing was a white guy that grew up in the suburbs on our staff that used to be a Houston police officer. The guy he was baptizing was an African American that at 4 years old was forced to pick cotton, was abused, was then incarcerated because of his drugs. Jesus saved his soul, changed his life, and we baptized him. Now that's awesome. Now let me tell you about that unity. That's unity across ethnicities. That's a police officer baptizing an ex-convict, right? That's amazing. It's all of these different things coming together and watching these backgrounds, these different backgrounds. Now, am I trying to say anything that's stereotypical of either person? No, I'm not trying to say that. I'm trying to build that Jesus breaks down all different walls, and he brings across ethnicities, socioeconomic, the ways that we do things. He brings across from a police officer to an ex-con. All of those things, Jesus brings that unity. Mama's going to bring the same thing. So what happens at the dinner table? Can I be excused? No, you can't. We're not all finished eating yet. That's what Mama says. Because there's something more important than food. It's fellowship. You're picking on your sister. Daddy says, just don't kill her. Don't bother me while I'm reading the paper. Mama says, no, you're going to love your sister and you're going to care for her. We're a family, right? What we do in our family for unity is we say Team Mott. We put knuckles in. Team Mott. 1, 2, 3. Team Mott. Take that same thing. Team whatever your family is. Put your knuckles in. Go for it. You're a team. You're unified. Go for it. And Mama does a great job of being able to do that. Doesn't matter, kid, if you're hungry or not. Sit at the dinner table with your family. And unify and do things together. Our fourth and final characteristic of the Good Shepherd and of Mom is found in verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. Have we heard that now? I think we're on our fourth time. Only to take it up again. No one takes it up. No one takes it from me. Why? Because the Good Shepherd doesn't run. But I lay it down on my own accord, and I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Verse 19, at these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? See, who he is and what he does is interacting with who they are and what they do. So the fourth and final thing is this. The good shepherd and a great mama, he sacrifices voluntarily and vicariously, and so does she. He sacrifices voluntarily and vicariously, and so does she. He lays down his life for the sheep voluntarily. No one took it from me. No one forced me to do it. I lay it down on my own volition. I lay it down. Not only voluntarily, vicariously, I'm laying it down on your behalf. The shepherd is going to die for the sheep. The good shepherd and a great mama lays down her life willingly and vicariously for those children, for the sheep. And let me just encourage you, ladies, you do great at this. I mean great at this. What sacrifice, I mean, husbands, dads, we get to about here, and then we start talking ourselves into more over here. We're like, oh, okay, I know I should. Guilt, right? Instead of, Lord, give me the strength to. But mamas, y'all get way out here on sacrifice. I mean, it's amazing. It is Jesus shining through you. It's awesome to watch. Moms will sacrifice upon sacrifice upon sacrifice. And good for you. That is awesome. And men, we need to learn from that. The good shepherd sacrifices for the sheep. Let me tell you this story. The couple's name was Jessica and Clint Council. They already had one baby, and we're going to show you the picture. There's Jessica on the left, baby in the middle. That's Clint on the right. They already had one baby, and Jessica found out that she was pregnant. They were so excited about the second baby coming along. Good parents, Christian parents, godly people. They're excited about this new baby coming along, and so they were celebrating. They found out in August of 2010 that she was pregnant with her second child. Then in November of 2010, she started having some medical problems. Things weren't right. So they got to the hospital, and they went there. They started doing all these tests on her, and they found out that she had cancer. Here she is with this little baby we just saw. She's got a baby in her womb. She's pregnant. And she finds out she's got cancer. So, I mean, you go from a high to a shattering low, right? She finds out she's got cancer, and the doctors come along and they say, ma'am, we have got to operate on this cancer. If we do not get it out, it is going to be very bad for you. We must operate on this cancer. So therefore, we're proposing that we abort the child and then we operate on you to get the cancer out. If we abort the child, you can always have more children later, but we got to get this cancer out, so let's abort the child. And so they, without thinking, Clint and Jessica said no. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. So they continued on, and the cancer began to get worse. Till they said to her, they said, here's what needs to happen. If you're not going to let us operate, you've got to let us go in there with chemotherapy. You've got to let us go in there with radiation. We can put it in such a pencil point kind of way. We can really put this in there that we can do it, that we don't think that we'll hurt the child. But we got to go in after this. We got to get the chemo in there. We got to get the radiation in there. We got to go for it. said, no. No. I'm not going to do anything that's going to endanger the life of this child. I'm not going to do it. They kept on, kept on. And the doctors were baffled. They couldn't believe why in the world would she do this. And then on Jessica on February 5th had a headache and was very nauseous and went to sleep that night. And she never woke up. She died. Then her husband, if you can imagine this going on in this young man's brain. My wife just died and they're telling me that they want to do a C-section. And they open her womb up. And they do a C-section and they remove the child, and the child is 1 pound, 3 ounces. They thought it was at 25 weeks. It was actually at 23 weeks. The line of 23 weeks, so hear the hand of God. The line of 23 weeks was the exact line on which a child could live outside the womb. The husband, Clint, said this, she knew that she was going to die. She didn't share that with me until almost when she died. But I think she knew, and she was thinking she was going to give this baby every chance she could. And they opened up her womb, and that little baby came out, and the baby lived and is healthy today. And the mom passed away. Now I say that to you as we talk about the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Voluntarily and vicariously. And I tell you this, any parent in the room, any mama in this room, you'd have done the same exact thing. You would have. Any dad, you'd have given your life. You would have. Grandparents, the same thing. We understand that emotion. But she willingly, knowingly said, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. Her husband wrote this, two things. He wrote, he said, first of all, for the first month, I was unable to even read my Bible or pray. But then he further wrote, but God is to be praised, my friends. Do not doubt God.